special point regarding Sheikh Abdulmanap Az-Zain is that broadened his activities and focused on invitation for local people.
So over there we see that he start to create relationship with the Sunni leaders and make them to get convinced to accept the school of Ahlul Bayt as one of the formal or official denominations of Islam.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is The Teacher. I'm Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahtavi and Sheikh Ziya. Sheikh Mahtavi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Ziya, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
So the program The Teacher is about the life and the works and the methods of research of the most outstanding Muslim scholars, philosophers, jurists, and thinkers all across the nation of Islam, especially the Shiite ones. And for today's discussion, we want to discuss the life and works of a person who has spent most of his life in the country Senegal, one of the African countries, being busy with spreading Islam over there. He is no one but Abdulmanap Zain, the outstanding Lebanese cleric. Okay, Sheikh Ziya, let's start with you, brother. Give us some details about the education and early life of Abdulmanap Zain.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Abdulmanap Zain is a Lebanese cleric that was a student of Sayyid Musa al-Sadr. And by suggestion of Imam Musa al-Sadr, he moved from Lebanon to Africa, and especially to the country of Senegal, in the city of Dakar, the capital of the country.
Okay.
You know, at that time, and currently, of course, there were some Lebanese living in Africa. You know, Lebanese are living all around the world.
Yes.
Lebanon is a special country in this case.
Yes.
And the population of Lebanese that are living all around the world are more the population Lebanese that are living in Lebanon itself.
Okay.
So many of them are living in Africa, and some of them are living in the west of Africa. That Senegal also is in the west of Africa.
That's right.
So Sheikh Abdulmanap Az-Zain moved from Lebanon to Senegal to stay there and to be a resident scholar and resident sheikh for people and the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam over there.
Was it by the invitation of Sayyid al-Sadr, Imam Musa al-Sadr, in order to go there, in order to preach Islam or something like
yes.
that?
Yes. Okay. You know, Imam Musa al-Sadr paid a visit to Africa after that he was chosen. Of course, he was the founder of the
yes.
Majlis al-A'la in Lebanon.
Yeah.
So after founding that, Congress, he had some visits to some other countries. He paid a visit to Africa, some of the countries that one of them was Senegal.
Yes.
And after returning back to Lebanon, they asked him when he was there, they asked yes. him to send a sheikh for them.
Okay.
That's why he asks Sheikh Abdulmanap Az-Zain to go to Senegal to be a resident scholar over there.
Okay.
So, but the special point regarding Sheikh Abdulmanap Az-Zain is that he didn't, limit and specialized his activities only for Lebanese. Of course, he was invited by them. He settled in Dakar to preach for Lebanese, first of all.
Yes.
But he broadened his activities mm-hmm. and focused on invitation for local people.
That's right.
So that's why, after some years, because he moved to Senegal in 1969.
Yes.
And now it's about 40 years that he is over there. He was a young man.
Maybe 50 years.
Yes, more than 40 years.
Yeah, 50 years, that's right.
It's about 50 years.
Okay.
So after these years, we may find that he has invited more than 100,000 people to the School of Thought of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalatu wassalam, and established many schools over there.
Okay.
And, to have a way to introduce the School of Thought of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalatu wassalam to people clearly. A true follower of this hadith of Imam al-Sadr alayhi salam, that His Holiness says, كونوا لنا زينا ولا تكونوا لنا شينا. Be glory for us, but not be shame for us.
Okay.
So he tried to broadcast the voice of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam amongst local people, and to be a good, role model in this regard for other sheikhs also.
Especially we know that Africa at that time, 50, 60 years ago, the country Senegal, for sure must not have facilities for life, for example, as it was in even in Lebanon at that time, it was... And the population over there might not be familiar with some presuppositions or Islamic background. So it is really, I think, a difficult task for a muballigh to go to a strange land with a strange people, a strange culture, and they step by step invite them into, can I say, the Shiite Islam. Up to an extent that they were calling him as the Shiite Caliph over there, or the Shiite chief over there. Okay, Sheikh Mahtawi, I think the main mission of such muballigh and scholars is this, in order to spread Islam and we can say familiarize the people of the foreign lands and the far lands with the Shiite Islam. How much do you think Abdul Munim Zain was successful in Senegal?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think Sheikh Abdul Munim Zain, as our brother mentioned, was a true follower of Ahlul Bayt, and we can call him the alim, or the scholar of the time and space. Because when he moved to Senegal, he knew that Islam had a very long route in Senegal, because in the west of the Africa, we have many Muslim communities. So this is not to say it's kind of Central Africa or south of the Africa, which Christianity is a dominating religion over there.
Okay.
But in the west of the Africa, we have Islamic communities growing over there. So he was really understanding the time and the issues of time and space. So we can say, as our brother mentioned, since he went there under the suggestion and recommendation of Sayyid Musa al-Sadr, he followed the same steps that Sayyid Musa al-Sadr or Imam Musa al-Sadr did in Lebanon, in order to bring glory and actually dignity for Shia community in Lebanon, the Lebanese community. So over there, we see that he start to create relationship with the Sunni leaders in terms or under the umbrella of Islam, to put aside all differences and sit around one table, start communicating with them and make them to get convinced to accept Shiism or the school of Ahlul Bayt as one of the formal or official denominations of Islam.
That's right.
Because living in Iran or Shia community will make us to judge that Shia or school of Ahlul Bayt must be accepted by all people all around the world.
Yes.
But because of the propaganda against Shia school of thought, some of the Muslims are not going to treat Shias as Muslims because of the propaganda.
Yes.
So he was knowing this issue. When he moved to Senegal, first of all, he sat with the leaders of Sunnis, starting to make this Shia school of thought as one of the official denominations.
That's right.
So it is also mentioned in his biography as one of his achievements that by his effort, they actually recognized Shia as one of the denominations, the same as those four denominations of Islam that we have. This was one of the steps that he did, and Imam Musa al-Sadr also did in Lebanon. After this, he was actually looking at the youth and kids because he was aware that if anything is going to happen, it will happen based on this potential, which is within the youth and kids. So we see in his biography that more than 120 schools he established. So this is something great. So to go there, start benefiting from the support of your Lebanese brothers among you, because as our brother mentioned, Lebanese are good businessmen, specifically in Africa. So benefiting from this money and capital in order to spread Shia, but technically and systematically. And besides school, he established many masajid.
And besides masajid, many Islamic entities,
yes,
or let's say charity entities.
Yes.
As we look at these parts, we see that these are different pillars with which he was actually capable of bringing about Shia community.
That's right.
But why? Because creating a community is not only based on going up the minbar and start giving and delivering speeches.
That's right.
You have to work on the youth. You have to work on the kids. You have to start communication with the leaders, I mean other leaders,
yes,
to receive some sort of acceptance,
yes,
in the community.
Okay.
And as we see, he was granted this chance to receive the national medal from the president of Senegal. It shows that how powerfully he was taking his steps in order to create this community.
I think he was directly under the influence of the method of the preaching and tabligh of Imam Musa Sadr. This interface, intraface dialogue that Imam Musa Sadr was after, and not focusing on the differences between the religions, rather on the commonalities, can obviously be seen in the works of Sheikh Abdul Munim Zain too. That was, he was successful. And politically speaking, most of the African countries, you know, we know that the African lands, because of the situation over there, because they have been monopolized by the arrogant superpowers for so many years, they are, I think, after justice. And they are after, we can say, seeking justice. So when a person under the slogan and banner of Islam, which is the slogan of brotherhood, Ukhuwwah and Mawaddah, comes to their land, they are welcomed very much. And Sheikh Abdul Munim, I think, was successful. And as you said, politically speaking, he could reach the medal, you know, the national medal trophy of the country in 2014 by the president over there. He has also authored some books, you know, he was,
yes,
active authoring some books, presenting in the conferences over there and publishing his works in both English language and the Arabic language, which was his mother tongue. Okay, any other details about his life, Sheikh Zainia?
Maybe this point is also interesting regarding the manner that he was using, mm-hmm, to invite people, mm-hmm, to the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wassalatu wassalam. That is, he says that the first step that I took was giving some books to people as a gift. When they started studying these books, after some while, I was talking to them, okay, how did you find this book? And we had some discussions for some hours about the subjects that were discussed in,
yes,
the book. And then after some, you know, discussions, if the person was, you know, agreed, he would recite, he or she would recite Shahadatain.
Yes.
And I would like to mention this, that this is exactly in accordance with the verse of Holy Quran that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim in Surah An-Nahl, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idhati al hasana. And Sheikh Abdul Mun'im Az-Zain is correctly and truly using this manner and method,
Ahsan,
that he is using books,
yes,
hikmah, well, maw'idhat al-hasana, he talks to people,
giving them advices.
Yes.
Or, yes, beautiful.
And then lets them think. Okay, if you agree and if you want, you may recite Shahadatain. And then he used to give them certificates regarding this,
yes,
to, you know, we may say authenticate,
yes,
the personality of, you know, Shia people over there. Another,
that's
important,
right,
point is that he had good relationship with Sunni brothers,
mm-hmm,
in a way that, after living some years in Senegal, because now he is he has the nationality of Senegal,
mm-hmm,
and
oh, really?
From 1987, yeah, he,
yes,
was given this nationality.
Lebanese Senegalese
double nationality.
Yes.
So he, you know, interacted with Sunni brothers, mm-hmm, in a way that the imams of the school of thought of Ahlus Sunnah, they were so, there are,
yes,
four imams,
yes,
Maliki, Hanbali, Shafi, and Hanafi,
yes,
and they called the most prominent scholar in their, you know, school of thought, they call it Khalifa,
yes,
Caliph.
Yes.
Sheikh Abdul Mun'im Az-Zain interacted with them in a way that they accepted him, mm-hmm, as the fifth Caliph.
Caliph.
And
okay,
that's why he is called the Caliph of Ithna Ashari school of thought.
Okay. Caliph means the chief or the,
yes,
head of
the chief
an Islamic sect or denomination. this title was given to him. And this, you know, formal recognition or the official recognition of the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt among our Sunni brethren really show that our Sunni brethren are also welcoming the ideas of the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. They have respect for the Shiite Imams. But unfortunately, in today's world, the segregationists and seditionists all around the world try to plant the seed of disagreement and discord among the Muslims. But the works of people like Abdul Munim Zain shows that it is possible that we have peaceful talks with our Sunni brethren in far, far lands, and then the people are free in order to choose their beliefs, whether it be according to the Sunni beliefs or the Shiite beliefs. And Abdul Munim Zain, I think, was the source of benefit for so many people over there. Okay, any other detail? No? Thank you very much, Sheikh Ziaynia and Sheikh Mahdavi, for your presence in the program, The Teacher. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the people and preachers and muballiqeen like Abdul Mun'im Zain, you know, the people who spend their life in far, far lands away from. Believe me, it is very much difficult to leave your homeland, to leave the people with your same language and the culture, you know, and go to a far, far land, living over there, preach Islam. And inshallah, the sawab and the reward of these people is multiplied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anywhere they are. Thank you much. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher, which was about the Lebanese scholar, Abdul Mun'im Zain, who is spending most of his life in preaching Shia Islam in Senegal in West Africa. For more information, you can visit our website at parstoday.com/Shia and Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah. Allah.